Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie. There was a report that the Washington football team will part ways with Alex Smith. And Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network said,
guys, you want to talk about a potential place he could land? I mean, obviously, you're going to have teams interested if he wants to play. I would keep an eye on the Chicago Bears simply because of Matt Nagy.
I like everything about Alex Smith. I love a good comeback story. I get the connection. But as we examine this clue, Mully, if I'm the Bears and my job depends on winning in 2021, I'm Ryan Pace, I'm Matt Nagy, I understand those realities. I don't know how comfortable I feel in trusting my future to a quarterback with his health history, with 17 surgeries, with all that comes with bringing Alex Smith into the mix. If he's your starter, I have some serious questions. If he's your bridge, backup, security, insurance policy, that's different. But if you're counting on him to be your week one guy, we need to talk.
They brought in Tom Herman, the fired Texas coach. Do you need another coach? Is that what you're looking for here? Because I don't think of Alex Smith as the starting quarterback. If indeed you go out and get him, I think he's one of the great NFL stories, incredible what he's had to overcome. I don't want to diminish his achievements. It's just too many hits, too many surgeries, too many days that have passed. He's a great guy. I wouldn't want him anywhere near the Bears. If you brought him in and you combined him with Nick Foles, that gets you, what, 10 games? And you're going to have 17 this year?
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is a wondrous and glorious Wednesday hump day in the fine city of Chicago. Pretty extraordinary to have already made a dent in March, David. How are you?
Morning, Mully. Happy Wednesday. Yes, we are on the third day of this month, and it sure felt like March last night, didn't it, watching Illinois. It was a Tuesday full of statements, one made by Illinois basketball against Michigan, and that followed earlier in the day a garbled one made by the Bears against themselves, basically.
It was we were both lurking in the background of the Zoom call. That's the way I like to do it, you know, just to kind of sit back and watch it and take it all in. Well, and it was an extraordinary I thought Ryan Pace in particular did an extraordinary job of really kind of avoiding any topic, any issue, talking of the sensitivity of the time of year. I mean, it was really pretty impressive the way that man managed not to speak.
Well, you know, when you say lurking, respectfully lurking, I think we both are sort of back there watching, listening, and observing more than participating, because I think we both have been in those situations that, you know, you want to hear what the people who cover the team on a regular basis,
yes,
they want to ask these questions. They have a list, and you have what do we have, 20 minutes or so? So there's a finite amount of time and infinite number of questions probably that you could come up with. And you let them be asked, and you evaluate the answers. The answers were incomplete. And we're unsatisfying,
sure.
And there was a lot to evaluate, really, but there was nothing said. of substance?
No, there was nothing of real substance said. It made you, I don't know that I believed they were going to lay out their plan for the offseason, but they sure didn't seem to have a singular plan in terms of the way they were going to attack the quarterback position. It really seems like they're waiting for other things to happen, and they're hopeful that that will somehow leave them with the right guy and in the right situation. But I don't know that is the case, David. I don't know it's not. I'm not claiming that well, there's no hope for them, but it just seems like when you ask a guy, well, how many of these ideas would you be happy with if they came to fruition? And his answer is several. I had to kind of chuckle to myself. It was just funny.
If there was a box mentally, Matt Nagy would have checked all of the above.
Because exactly.
They definitely haven't ruled anything out. And you know what, Mully, from our standpoint, okay, our little slice of the corner of the world here between 5 and 9 every day, it seems as if we are in March 3rd, okay, 3/3/21. Mm-hmm. It seems as if since the season has ended, we have on a daily basis almost explored some aspect of the Bears quarterback possibilities, the quandaries, the options available to them. And to some degree, we at times we'll hear from a texter or a twitcher or somebody like, God, are you guys talking about the quarterback again? Boy, are you guys sounding redundant. It's the same problem day after day. I didn't feel so bad after listening to those guys yesterday because that's exactly what they're doing. Every day, it seems like they're discussing a new possibility that because they don't have any clear-cut answer or solution to what to do next.
Yeah, I got to tell you, here's the problem I have with sometimes some of the things that you say. There were other questions asked that there was no clear-cut answer to. Ryan Pace in particular was unwilling to sort of engage in any way whatsoever. He was asked at one point what the strength of the team is, and my God, that answer is worth the price of admission. Because he had been talking about the coaching staff, so he named the coaching staff. Then he realized, oh, no, wait, I gotta talk about the defense. So he mentions the defense. Then he goes into some of the stuff that happened at the end of the year with the offense. Then he finishes saying how strong the special teams are. So everything but quarterback is the answer to that question. Their strength is everything but quarterback, and their plan is everything about the quarterback, right? So it just didn't make a ton of sense.
Well, at least that was consistent with what Matt Nagy has suggested, that they believe that they are a quarterback away from being a so-called contender. I don't know that I totally agree with that. I think at least yesterday we found out early on that Ryan Pace wasn't going to reveal much. I don't think that we expected him to, but he kind of thanked us in advance for respecting the idea that this is the time of the year where you can't share much because you have draft plans, you have free agency plans, you have plans with your own roster, which I think, is worth exploring as well, because he was asked specifically about Akeem Hicks and Kyle Fuller,
right?
Because they carry such high price tags next year with the salary cap dropping to $180 million, I believe. And he wouldn't reveal much there. So I understand the strategic advantages with keeping things close to the vest, but hope is not a plan. And I think all that we heard yesterday was that the Bears hope that things change as it regards the quarterback position without any real concrete evidence or proof that they kind of have an idea that it will.
Yeah, I don't know that we learned a ton. I thought there were a couple of things that were kind of interesting. The idea that neither Jalen Johnson, the rookie corner, or Khalil Mack, the star defender, needed surgery after the season ended for their ailments, and that's good news. He was positive about Eddie Goldman, but didn't kind of nail it down. After listening to him, I went back and then read the transcript again. And he really didn't say, they're looking forward to welcoming Eddie back. He didn't really kind of go there. Matt Nagy said he interviewed nine defensive coordinator candidates.
Nine. 9.
That seems like an awful lot.
That's a lot of Zoom conferences. That's a lot of logging in and saying hello via Zoom and a virtual interview and a lot of resume building, a lot of networking. I thought that was a very high number. If you interview 9 people, are you really zeroed in and targeting exactly what you want, or are you waiting to hear it as you sort of search?
It's a great question. It's a really good question. And you know, this, he pointed out, is the third time that he was going into that process. The first one, he inherited Vic Fangio, and Vic left for a head coaching job. Then he decided on Chuck Pagano. And Chuck Pagano went into retirement, which, again, was worthy of further discourse, in my opinion, because I don't think there was a great effort made to prevent that, at the very least. At the worst, and again, we don't know this, but the guy was kind of forced.
Well,
you know, you want to get, like, retire, or you want to just get fired? What do you want?
Yeah, like, Chuck, what time is it? I don't know. My watch isn't working. Oh, you need a new watch? Here's a new watch. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the memories. Happy retirement.
And then to go through apparently 8 other candidates before you settle on Sean Desai, that's, you know, kind of remarkable. And, you know, the idea that you're hiring Petten and you're bringing in a guy that was a defense coordinator just to be a sounding board. But, you know, when they had that meeting, there were no egos.
Well, that was an interesting way that he described that. Number one, the 9 defensive coordinators that were interviewed, and not one of them was, you know, that was before Mike Petten was available. Then really you bring a 10th guy into the equation who has done the job before.
Yeah.
Which I think we've talked about the awkwardness potentially for Mike Petten joining Sean Desai, who hasn't done the job before. And Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace talked about that. And I don't know, as I sort of alluded to yesterday with you, when you bring these guys into a room, I have yet to meet a head football coach, and this who you know, the word egoless applies. Maybe they're unselfish. Maybe they are putting the team first, but egoless, that's a hard for me to understand, to buy, to think that there is an egoless meeting between these guys whose job, their duties are going to intersect as much as Sean Desai's and Mike Petten's are going to. So I think that's a work in progress. That sounds more experimental to me, which I think, again, it just reinforces some of the issues that we addressed when they hired him. Great idea, great resource. Let's see it work.
Did you hear 2 different answers when Mitchell Trubisky's name came up? I heard a little bit of a contradiction from what Ryan Pace had previously said. It's like Ryan Pace kind of wants, you know, kind of always wanted Mitch, and then you get into this sort of a situation. All right, the season ends. You know, we have to move on. We got to get better quarterback. That would indicate there's no Mitch. And then he talked about everything's on the table, including Mitch. And then when the head coach was asked about it, he never really, I mean, I don't know that he dismissed the idea. I just got the sense that the one guy is open to Mitch and the other guy might not be. And the other guy might not want to kind of say that out loud, but maybe he ought to tell his partner in crime that it's a bad idea, because it seemed like that was a good idea to one guy, not the other.
Well, to quote the great football philosopher Dan Campbell, it takes a real alpha to concede. So we'll find out who wins that argument between
he was
Nagy and Pace. I guess I did hear some mixed messaging in regard to Mitch Trubisky. I think that's a good experienced ear on your part, because there wasn't that clear message. I mean, is it yes or no? Again, it's garbled. Are you, and I don't know, except for maybe you want to pacify an agent or some other things, why you wouldn't either A, say, yeah, Mitch is still in play because all options are still on the table, which is how he began. Or if he isn't, just say, you know what, we're going in a different direction. We thank Mitch for his time, and we wish him well moving forward. They didn't say that, Molly. So that to me says that he's in play. And I think if he is in play, it tells you just how desperate the situation is if they're willing to keep that door open, even though it's a tiny crack.
Well, we'll pick it apart, and we'll play some audio for it. We'll get into it to a very large extent. It was a lot of fun just to have an opportunity to hear from them. I don't know that we learned a lot, but I think the one thing I did learn is everything's on the table. The Illini, how about Illinois? They take down number 4, Illinois. They're now a seed. They go in and beat Michigan. And they beat them fairly handily, 76-53. They didn't just beat them. They kind of trounced them. And that's without Io. I don't know, David. Are they damaging his player of the year chances? And I'm joking. But,
I know
my
you are.
God, that's an extraordinary win. That was really – Brad Underwood, take a bow, sir. That's pretty extraordinary. That was a really good – a victory for the Illini, and it puts them in a position where they will be a number one seed. Now, I know they play at Ohio State on Saturday, mm-hmm. but, man, that's an unbelievable – when you start talking net rankings and all that stuff, that's a real feather in your cap.
A resounding statement beyond any metrics. It's hard to measure what that meant in terms of their season, in terms of this month. I think the word that Trent Frazier introduced afterward, he kind of is the senior and he knows exactly what to say. Special. This is, looks like a special team, and they guard people, Molly. They are definitely defensively ahead of the curve here, and that's what it was last night as much as anything. You know, that's the highest rated team Illinois has ever beaten on the road, and that's quite a statement because it came after they beat Wisconsin on the road. So back-to-back top 25 victories for a team playing without its best player. Yes, Brad Underwood, heck of a job coaching this team and getting it to buy in all season long. They play defense. They may not always shoot the best. They may not do this or that, but this is a team that has the Final Four on its mind, and with good reason.
We got baseball. We got a ton to talk about with that. The Bulls are at the Pelicans tonight. Keep an eye on them. Last game prior to the All-Star break, and should be fascinating to see. By the way, Zach LaVine is going to be in the three-point contest. Pretty extraordinary. So is Steph Curry. That's pretty the group in that three-point contest. I don't know about the dunkers, but that is extraordinary. That's a good group. Steph Curry, my God, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Devin Booker, Zach LaVine. Pretty impressive company that he's keeping, and good luck to him in that three-point shooting contest. Another reason to tune in if you needed
one. Yeah, if they're going to play the game, I'm going to probably watch it in the festivities, and it's sort of condensed this year, so that's nice. Yeah, but what a stacked field. I mean, if Zach LaVine is going to be in a three-point shooting contest, you want him to be, you know, couldn't Steph Curry skip it this year? Because he's going to win it, right?
I mean, you would think. He kind of revolutionized the game of basketball with his three-point shooting, if you don't mind my saying so. And I think he changed the game. I think Steph, his impact in the league is seen every night, every game you watch. He's coming in for, you would think he's coming in for the glory. And I would, if I'm wagering, yeah, I think you'd have to take him, right? I don't know. Is there a special skill involved in the three-point shooting contest? Maybe the ability to hit a three would be a pretty important one. So we'll see, but it should be fun to see. All right, we got to get to the 5 at 5. We've got great stuff today. So much good football stuff and a lot of baseball thoughts, too. And we'll get into all of it next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show on your ride home. Afternoons 2 to 6 on the score.
White Sox star Tim Anderson on Tony La Russa.
It's kind of weird at first, so of course you're not going to like it. Kind of got on the same page and built the relationship. Got a spring training. We had one-on-one, sit-down talk. Count's been going good. He going to let me play. He going to let me do what I do. He going to let me bat flip. No, I just lying.
No, be honest.
He's going to let me have fun, man. He's going to let me have fun. He's going to let me, you know, nothing's going to change.
Danny Parkins, Matt Spiegel, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
After listening to both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy answer repeated questions about the Bears quarterback plan, do you believe they have one? If so, can you please share it with the class?
The plan is everything. That's the plan. The plan is we have a plan. We're going to end up with a quarterback. And then, even if it's the same guy, we're going to say that was the plan. That was the plan all along. It was this kind of circular logic about how you could do any and everything, and then kind of whatever you do is going to end up being what you really thought you'd wind up doing before you started the entire kind of inspection of quarterbacks around the NFL. I thought it was kind of amusing because I agree with what David, what you said earlier. We've talked about all these guys as rumors and innuendo. Maybe they're a day ahead of us, but they're talking about the same stuff. They're kind of going over the same ideas that we talk about on a regular basis. And at some point, someone will be free, and then all the dominoes fall, and then the Bears jump. Or maybe the dominoes stay standing, and then the Bears don't have to jump. But either way, that's the plan.
I think that the plan seems to be rooted in hope, luck, and circumstance. And that's not the way that most NFL teams approach their roster building. I understand why they are. It feels very much like a year ago when maybe they had a plan, but they'd had a backup that was maybe more reliable in their minds because Mitch Trubisky still had another year. What I think that you suggest is accurate. It's almost as if, and I'm not saying they do, but like they listen, and then they listen to talk radio, and then the next day they come up with something else that maybe they didn't think about. Maybe a caller gave them an idea. I don't know, because it doesn't seem to be as clear cut. Now, there was some suggestion from Ryan Pace that there are things that we're not privy to, and there are ideas that we haven't really discussed, and maybe there's a new secret plan that is going to be hatched and emerge, and maybe we'll, boy, we didn't think of that. Oh, geez, Matt Ryan? Oh, really? Okay, no, we talked about him. I think that was on January 27th, Matt Ryan. That was the Matt Ryan day. Something like that, Molly. I don't know what it is. It certainly didn't. If you were tuned in yesterday, whether it was online or whatever, looking for a reason to believe or to be inspired but with confidence by what you heard from Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, you're still waiting, Bears fans. You're still waiting. And I don't know how long you will wait. I don't know if you'll get that answer this offseason, but it was somewhat frustrating to hear that there wasn't a more coherent plan to be expressed, even though, by now you would expect there should be.
Well, there's definitely a list. Right, there's definitely a list. Now, the question I have would be, will the names on that list be longer than the amount of defensive coordinators that Matt Nagy supposedly interviewed? Okay, is it more than nine?
Sure.
Nick Foles sure. is your guy in the bullpen. You've got Nick Foles, you know that. Are there nine guys on their list outside of Nick Foles that they would be okay with being the day one starter? Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'm going to stick with this one. We've all, I'll just use me. I don't want to put you guys in my group unless you want to get on board, criticize the Bears for getting over their skis, falling in love with a guy, and then putting too many eggs in that basket to go get that guy. So if they do believe there are nine or more, David's even thinking that list is longer than nine, then I'm okay with this right now. Let's see how it plays out. We still have two huge quarterbacks that supposedly want out of their teams. And when they move on, there's going to be two new guys that hit the street that could be added to that list of Bears' potential starting quarterbacks. So I'm okay with how they handled it. I didn't think they were going to tell us, listen, these are the four guys. If we don't get one of these four guys, then we're going to stick with Nick Foles, and then maybe we'll draft somebody. That's what we're going to do. Thanks for the question, David. It's a good question.
For the sake of the exercise, Dustin, I know we have four more questions to go, but just real quick, nine guys, and I'm not counting Foles, okay? Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Marcus Mariota, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Derek Carr, Alex Smith, Mitch Trubisky, rookie draft pick to be named later. That's nine. That's right. Easy.
And there's a couple more you could add. I just don't – I think two of those guys are unrealistic, but yes, it's easy to get to nine for sure.
Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, Alex Smith.
We're in double digits, guys.
We still haven't gotten to the Jets quarterback either.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Sam
what
Darnold.
The Jets quarterback?
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold. Now we're up to 14 already, right? Yeah. Listen, there's plenty of guys.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question.
Were you surprised that Ryan Pace declined to shut the door on Mitchell Trubisky? Was this answer different from what you've heard from Pace and Nagy before?
I would say, again, everything's on the table with all the quarterbacks.
And what did you make of Nagy's I love the process answer to the same question?
Well, Ryan Pace spoke first in context. So you know that had been the other way around, or I shouldn't say no. We suspect, don't we, Mully? I mean, that if Ryan Pace would have followed Matt Nagy, Matt Nagy might not have left the door open as widely as Ryan Pace did. Everything is on the table, so I think technically that's true. But I just feel like there might be a little bit of a divide here. I think there always has been. Ryan Pace needed Mitch Trubisky to succeed, and maybe to some degree still hopes, is clinging to that morsel of hope that he still will, and justify all that he gave up to get him, and the way that Mitch Trubisky's descent and decline has defined, fair or not, Ryan Pace's career as an executive. That will be, you know, the first paragraph of his legacy at House Hall as a general manager, unless things turn around and they actually win a playoff game and go deep into the postseason. So what I felt like we heard from Ryan Pace was leaving the door open, everything's on the table, keeping things alive for Mitch, perhaps. Matt Nagy, in a very polite way, in a very energetic way, in a very enthusiastic way, kind of said, yeah, sure, that's great. Great. If that's what you want to say, I'll say that. He is very agreeable, but I don't know that it's very believable. And I think there's a difference. So, yeah, Nagy not so much on board. Yes, Pace on board. In that way, nothing new.
Yeah, I suppose not. But I thought that Pace kind of took the step at the end of the season news conference where he said, "Everything we have everything good but the quarterback, and we got to do everything we can on the quarterback." That, to me, was the nail in Mitch's coffin. And then yesterday, he sort of pried it out a little bit. He kind of, when we look at everything, and you're right, it was their quarterback plan is basically saying the rosary, I think, and hoping for a miracle. I didn't see any kind of firm stance. And guys, that's different than in the past. In the past, they've kind of known who their quarterback was going to be. Even last year, even with Nick Foles, we're going to run this scheme, and he's the guy that can do it, so we're going to go get him. I thought there was a difference in the two answers. It is interesting, David. There was about a half-hour break between the two. I'm sure that Matt Nagy, if he wasn't, lurking, watching Ryan Pace, I'm sure he knew everything that was said, and there was like a slight difference in their answers. I thought that Nagy's was more consistent with how he's talked about Mitch and their situation and the whole thing, and I thought that we saw Ryan Pace he's kind of trying to ride the wave of this thing, and I guess riding the wave is really the best kind of analogy for what's going on, the best metaphor, if you will, for these guys sort of just, cowabunga, baby, surfs up, let's go. It just doesn't seem like Mitch is in the picture other than maybe in the back of Ryan Pace's mind.
Yeah, Ryan's trying to cover his backside. He's still trying to play. Well, this is why I got this guy. Da 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 da. I mean, how many teams do you think Mitch Trubisky's name is on their list? I talked about the list that the Bears have. Do you think other teams are like, well, if Mitch Trubisky comes available, I mean, is there any other team that you could see Mitch Trubisky starting for outside of the Bears next year? He'll
Washington.
Be on a roster.
Washington.
Washington. It's interesting.
Yeah. New England.
New England.
Maybe New England. Yeah. That's another interesting. But like, you know, Cam Newton or Mitch Trubisky for New England. Cam Newton or Mitch Trubisky. What's the
Mitch
better
Trubisky.
Fit?
Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky.
Okay. After what went through all last year. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Listen, I didn't expect them to say that there's no chance that Mitch will be back in the doors at Halas Hall. That's just not who they are. I would have loved to have heard that yesterday, but that's just not who they are. And I do believe behind the scenes that the relationship between Nagy and Trubisky is broken, and I don't think that can be repaired. And I think if Mitch Trubisky is back as the 1A quarterback for the Bears next year, that's the last year for Nagy. It's the last year for Pace, and it's the last year for Trubisky. That's the trifecta. He ruins everything that's going on up there if Mitch Trubisky is back next year. It's just not going to work here. I don't wish ill will on Mitch. I hope he has a 12-year career in the form of Chase Daniels and makes $30 million holding a clipboard, okay? But if he's the quarterback next year for the Bears, it's bad news for that group.
The most pressing question is,
what was the bigger story with Andrew Vaughn's 3-run homer on Tuesday? That Lucas Giolito called that shot, or that Jose Abreu has declared Vaughn big league ready? Are you writing his name in pencil or pen? Does it matter if Jerry Nairn is writing the lineup card?
Yeah, it'll be beautiful whether in pencil or pen. I like that. Yeah. Look, you know, I did spend a lot of time watching that game, and I don't know why, because was it twice or three times that they just ended the inning with the bases loaded? What? I mean, how? You know, okay, Tony La Russa hasn't gotten the win yet. It's been a bunch of draws. But does it count if you're going to just walk off the field with two outs and the bases are loaded? I was like, what the hell's going on? And the Sox did it one time, too. You saw Tony kind of walk down the sideline. Hey, you know, we might give up a run here. Let's get out of here. It was just comical. That game was comical. It reminded me, was it last year when Yu Darvish, they decided to end the inning in a game against the Cubs because
he was getting rocked.
Well, he was getting rocked, but he was also, you know, he's got his pitch limit. We're going to have to call. They did that in the first inning, and then the guy came back for inning two. What about the pitch limit? What's he doing back out there? Okay, we'll walk off again. Weird game. Andrew Vaughn, that was great to see him hit a 3-run homer. I think it's hilarious that Lucas Giolito called it, and he apparently did, and he was proud of the fact that he did. He's gonna hit one here. But I think the more important element is to have a guy like Abreu say, oh, yeah, he's major league ready. And Abreu was there to congratulate him. He was one of the guys that he knocked in with the home run. And it was funny because Vaughn was running. He nearly caught up to him because he wasn't doing a jog. He was sprinting around the bases as you do when you're a young fella before you realize, you know, you got to take them all in and enjoy them. But I do believe that Andrew Vaughn is big league ready. And I believe in things that Jose Abreu says. So God bless him. That's your DH. That's it.
I just don't think that the White Sox would go to the trouble of trying to lather all this praise on Andrew Vaughn if it wasn't something that was special about his swing, about his approach, or just about him as a hitter. I don't sense that that's kind of their MO with a lot. They don't exaggerate a lot. It's not doesn't seem like hyperbole. And nothing about Vaughn in the very short window of time that we have seen him or heard from him seems like he's somebody that needs that morale boost. It doesn't seem like he lacks confidence. He certainly looks the part already. And in you know, very early, you know, start to spring training, we've seen him show good discipline at the plate with getting walks. And now we've seen him go deep. Yeah, this is a very encouraging sign early on. So Jose Abreu giving him his stamp of approval, that matters. Lucas Giolito calling the shot, that's fun. Because I think how many times do you guys call shots that don't happen that we never hear about? I think it's hilarious. And what's the batting average there? Probably 20% of the time. Somebody goes up and he looked good in batting practice. I bet you goes deep here. And then he grounds out the shortstop. Nobody says, oh, I was wrong about that. But when they're right, you hear about it. And Lucas Giolito is already in midseason form with the post-game Zoom. He is, anytime that he talks, he could, I wish that if he pitches every fifth day, could the other four, him just go to the booth and analyze Sox games on TV with Jason and Steve? That would be a lot of fun. But the Sox, a lot of things going well. Andrew Vaughn is going to fit great in that lineup. And I think the more we see of him, the more we'll understand that all of this early praise is not exaggeration at all.
I think the only thing that matters is that Vaughn hit that first inning three-run home run. That's what matters. And to my point, these games matter. Those at-bats matter. There's only a certain number of at-bats, right? Most, even in these seven-inning games, if you get three at-bats in a preseason baseball game, that's a lot of plate appearances. So he made the most of his opportunity. Absolutely, this guy is their DH. Put it in pen. Injuries, except for that. But this guy's he's the DH. Doesn't matter that Lucas Giolito called it. Sure, it's fun. Okay, great. Abreu, he's not writing out the lineup card. He's got no say in it. This is great. I was thrilled for Vaughn that he did this. Absolutely. And this is why you play the games, and this is why it matters. This is why your approach matters. You're not just going up there like, oh, okay, damn, La Russa put me in the lineup card. Okay, I hurry up and get this out so I can go play golf or go lay out by the pool. That's not the goal. So Andrew Vaughn's taking it serious, and he did a great job yesterday. Hope he does something great again today.
That is an unbelievably great question.
Illinois made quite a statement in Ann Arbor by blowing out number 2 Michigan without Ayo Dosunmu. But was the statement that Illinois deserves a number 1 seed in the upcoming NCAA tournament, or that seeding doesn't matter for a team that can play that intensely on the road without its best player? Any doubt who the best team in the Big Ten is?
I don't have any doubt. Not after last night. I think that beyond what the score was, beyond the physical way that Illinois just played defense and won that game and willed themselves to that blowout, that may have left a psychological scar on Michigan. Now, maybe that's overstating it because these are college athletes and they'll forget about this in a week or so and it may not mean anything in the Big Ten tournament. But I don't know that there has been a more impressive victory in college basketball all season than what we watched last night from Illinois over Michigan. And I think that, Illinois fans, help me out, and you can text us, you can tweet us, you can Twitch at us, whatever. Can you remember a more satisfying victory overall for the Illini? You have to go back to 2005, I think, to see something that left Illinois fans feeling as confident and as encouraged after a victory as they did last night after just beating Michigan and just taking them out of the game every aspect. That's what good defense does. And defense travels well. Even though they're not traveling far in the NCAA tournament, they're going to be in a very familiar city of Indianapolis. That I don't know that it's going to help Illinois more than it will other teams they may run into, but it certainly can't hurt them. So what happened last night convinced me that maybe it won't matter. We'll talk about them being a number one seed. They certainly deserve it after last night. If things hold up, I don't see them having a letdown. They're going to get Ayo back at some point, you would believe. He's in concussion protocol. But if they are the one seed, if they are the two seed, I don't know that it matters because this team can flip a switch, as we saw last night, play defense, execute offensively, and be a team to be feared.
I hate to say this because it sounds like I'm insulting them, but losing Ayo brought out the best in them. I don't know how that happened. Usually when you lose your best player, when you lose the guy that can make the big shot at the end of a game, you're in trouble. You're in trouble as a team when your best player goes down because it affects everybody. But they've done what you have to do to replace a talent like that, which is everybody raise their game. Everybody play a little bit better. You're right about everything you've said. This is a really amazing basketball team. If I'm an Illini fan, I'm thinking national championship. I'm going into this thing thinking that this team has all the elements, and Ayo coming back should give them even more of a boost. I don't think that the guys that stepped up without him are suddenly going to let down. I think it's exactly the opposite. I think you learn something about the rest of the roster. They learn something about themselves. I think you're going to have like an ultra confident team, regardless of what happens next, regardless of what goes on in the Big Ten. They know how good they are. I've been watching Michigan like everyone else that likes college basketball. That game against Ohio State was unbelievable. To see Illinois go in and just rout them, I mean, it wasn't even close. Illinois was such the better team on that day. And when you beat a team like that, you think you're going to be the better team on any day. So I was hugely impressed by what they managed to get done there. And I'm thinking national championship for that team. I've got very high expectations. And, boy, they're a good basketball team. Really good. Congratulations.
Well, I hope everybody listening and watching us this morning watched that game, invested the time. It was a 6 o'clock tip. It was a great college basketball game on right before that. I mean, really, really good between West Virginia and Baylor. So 4 o'clock, I put my rear end on the couch and sat down for about 4 hours and took in a ton of college basketball, and it did not disappoint. We talked about it. I said that this could be a blessing in disguise for the Illini, for Io to be out for a little bit to get some guys, some younger guys, some confidence. Curbelo last night was unbelievable. They came out, they punched Michigan in the mouth. I think Michigan might have misjudged them, thought they'd have an easy night because Io wasn't in there. They had all their guys, all their big three all struggled in the first half. That was also a big thing. Rebounding edge way in the advantage of the Illini. And if you would have said last night which team would more likely be up by 11 at halftime, it was no doubt it would be Michigan. There would be no doubt in your mind that which of the two teams would be up by 11 at halftime. So, listen, kudos to Illini. It was fantastic. Now, listen, I want to see Michigan and Illinois play again. Maybe I want to see them play two more times. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Because that means in the Big Ten championship and then again in the Final Four, that's probably, or the championship game, that's where you're going to see two more games against those teams. That was really, really, that was really, really good. Really, really good.
Do you think, Dustin, that Illinois, if they beat Michigan twice, wants to see Michigan in the Final Four? That's what you don't want.
Well, no, I didn't say they did. I said me.
Oh,
okay.
See
that. I want it. That's just the selfish college basketball fan in me. Listen, right. No, I agree. They don't want to because it's hard to beat teams, right? It's hard to beat teams three times, all that jazz. But listen, if you didn't watch it, go back and watch it. And listen, you know, get on board with college basketball because this tournament is going to be a lot of fun.
As a big sports fan, I love the question.
What do you make of Mayor Lightfoot saying she believes some Cubs and Sox fans will be able to attend some games in Chicago this season? While there is no timetable for an announcement, how good is this news? Give your best guesstimate when it will occur.
Well, let me just tell you, I'm on board for a little baseball. I'm on board for a trip to the ballpark. That is fantastic news. I know they're going to try to do it safely, but it's happening all over baseball, and things are opening up a little bit, whether right or wrong. You know, you're seeing schools. There's a push to get kids back into school. Look, I wouldn't be surprised, given the things that you're hearing, that this couldn't happen very early, a lot earlier than we think. I mean, like, maybe right away, limited fans right away, and then as the summer goes on and hopefully vaccinations go on, that maybe you expand things and you get a lot more people in the ballpark. But I do think the plan is to start as quickly as possible, so I'm going to go with opening day. I'm going to go with a limited number of people on both sides of town for their home openers, and that holding up maybe, I don't know, 12,000, 15,000 people allowed to go to games, and then kind of build on that as the year goes on. And hopefully, you know, again, you got to worry about these different things that are coming in, the different variations on this stuff, and it's kind of scary. But apparently the vaccine's working, a new vaccine coming out that is a one-shot vaccine. Maybe people more likely to just take the one shot than take one, wait a few weeks, get another one, whatever the policy is at this point. I'm just excited. at the idea of getting out to a game. I can't wait. I'm very hopeful of it. I think it's going to happen this summer, and I think it may even happen this spring.
Very encouraging, and you're right to be that optimistic, I think, because that is what they're discussing. For what I understand is, you know, there's a big range of dates, possible dates, that they would like to get people back in the ballpark on a limited basis as early as opening day. I think that's on the table. And certainly then the other end of the spectrum would be, I really have a hard time seeing any later than, you know, the All-Star break. I think last week when we talked about this, I thought conservatively it would be around the All-Star break. Things have already changed since that conversation last week, because, you know, there's now, yesterday the big announcement was nationally, every adult in America could have a vaccine, be vaccinated or have access to it by the end of May, the way things are being produced and distributed. That's encouraging. That's fun to think about. So going to sporting events is kind of the next level. Restaurants are reopening. There are more people that are allowed to kind of have their freedoms back a little bit. And so sports, a big part of that. We have extended the invitation to Mayor Lightfoot. She may have thoughts she wants to share on the Bears as well. Who knows? That's always fun. So we'll see if we can get her to come on and discuss this, because I think it is happening. And I think that's going to be up to every Cubs and Sox fan to decide how quickly they want to get back to the ballpark. But I sense a lot of anticipation, a lot of people like you and like me, Mully, who are looking forward to that opportunity. As long as it's safe and as long as they can provide some healthy distance, then yeah, this is something to look forward to. And I would say that let's be optimistic. They could have a limited number of fans maybe on opening day and gradually increase that level. Like every mile marker we go through the season, Memorial Day maybe more, All-Star break even more, and then we'll see where we are come Labor Day for September, which could be a very fun month in this town baseball-wise.
Wondering if Ryan Pace is awake up there.
He was us at least too. Yesterday afternoon, we know that. I love Mully's optimism there about fans in the stands on opening day. And I wonder if what's going on in Arizona and Florida with spring training baseball and having a limited number of fans, if that might be the compass that all teams use. Now, the other problem potentially could be, now in New York as an example, they've opened up Madison Square Garden. So Rangers and Knicks games have a limited number of fans, but they haven't obviously done that yet here in Chicago. And I just wonder what the talks are behind the scenes. So if Mully's right, and I hope he is, if they allow fans for opening day at both 35th and Shields and over at Wrigley, then does that put pressure on the mayor and whoever else gets input on this to open up the United Center for Bulls games and Hawks games? Like, would the ownership groups be ticked off that you're opening up baseball, but you're not opening up the United Center? And I wonder if it's until she feels it's safe to open everything back up with limited fans, then she's going to wait, and she's not going to open up baseball parks but keep the indoor arena closed. And I think that's something. I think that's a thing.
I don't think it's a thing, and I respect where you're coming from, but I really think that it's apples and oranges, because the Hawks and the Bulls play indoors.
Right.
And when you're asking people to gather indoors, that's a very different scenario than a baseball game or a football game or a soccer game outdoors.
I honestly believe.
Right now they're getting away with it, right? It's working. There are indoor crowds, so I don't see how she's going to get away with saying, go ahead and come to the outdoor game, but you still can't come to the indoor game.
Well, I think.
I mean, listen. Open the doors. You don't have to go. It's not, if they open up the United Center, it's not like people have to go. You get to make an educated decision for yourself. Either you go or you don't. But I think if she's going to open it up to one sporting venue, I think she needs to open it up to all at the same time.
I disagree, Dustin. I think it's different things. I think the outdoor thing makes it a totally different case than indoor. I'm not saying that you're not right. It wouldn't be fair for one or the other. But the fact is, I think you can socially distance and you can have tons of people at baseball games. I think you can do it with the NFL. I think the NFL will have fans from day one. But I do think it's a little different when you're talking about inside the building and different elements like that. I'm sure that both the Bulls and the Blackhawks are going to work with the city on that and try to make that as safe as possible. And if this goes well, if we don't see kind of super spreader events with baseball, I think there's a really good chance that, you'll have the same thing go on indoors as we move into that season. Again, you know, there's got to be like a tipping point when it comes to the idea of herd immunity. And if there are enough vaccinations, if there is enough of the drugs that are coming in that can resolve this situation, then that's gonna cause the tipping point to go in the favorable position. If the different variants that are coming in end up spreading it faster and things aren't going, then that's going to maybe tip it the other way. But I think the tipping point at this point is leaning toward this idea that we get back to a significantly more normal type of sporting event.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, Dustin. I understand the comparison, but I think that, you know, the mayor has the obligation to public health is far greater than any sort of fairness issue to the respective teams, professional sports league teams in Chicago. I mean, because she opens to the Cubs and Sox, the outdoor venues, I don't think that means she has to adjust the thinking, or anyone has to, with the Bulls and the Blackhawks, because of the different dynamics and the science and everything about being indoors versus being outdoors and the way the virus spreads.
You know, it's a good thing. I mean, I think if we are if we're moving in a positive direction, that could lead to what you're talking about, Dustin. But, you know, again, I think that this is just the way things happen. You start slowly and you build some momentum and then you move forward with it. So hopefully we do see that occur. But I think the good news here and the important thing is baseball having people in the stands, and that's a wonderful thing. I was watching a story the other day about older people taking vacations. Did you see this one? Hysterical.
Yeah.
The idea that since you've got like these really old people that have gotten vaccinated, so they're flying off to Aruba or wherever
Hawaii.
The hell you go. Yeah, exactly. And they're having a nice little vacation.
But I think we're burying the lead here. I think we just are overlooking the fact Dustin just predicted the Blackhawks will be playing deep into June and they're making another Stanley Cup run, right? Is that what you're getting at? So we need to be ready for that.
I think they'll be in the postseason.
What about the Bulls?
I hope they don't go into the All-Star break on a 3-game losing streak.
All right, 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. That is possible. Sadly, we'll find out tonight. Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
This is the Mullion Hall Morning Show, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period. Mornings 5 to 9. Listen on your mobile device through the radio.com app and always on the radio at 670 the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.